Okay, for a message this evening, the theme of my message, turn with me to Matthew 5, verse 6. Very familiar verse. Matthew 5, verse 6. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, I just told you that I got two daughters in Africa, and last July, we took a trip to Africa, to Kenya, for two weeks, I believe it was. And it was very good for me. It was very good for me spiritually, but it was very good for me physically, too, because I lost 12 pounds. And you can't tell it now, but you'll see why here in just a little bit. But, you know, I loved the food, but it didn't agree with me. They say there was probably a bacteria in it that my body just didn't like, and I just couldn't handle the food. And I was hungry all the time. And I couldn't wait to get back to America and get some real food, some food I could eat that I could enjoy. And the first evening I cooked steaks, and the second evening I grilled hamburgers, and the first few days I went into town and I went by a bark food store at lunchtime, and I walked in the bark food store and I said, they make subs back there, and I said, I want a sub and I want everything you got to put on it. I said, I want it all. And then after I got, they were making my sub, and I walked over to this cooler, and this cooler, I saw sweet Lebanon bologna, and I said, oh, I would love to have some of that right now. If I would have just waited, I could have sweet Lebanon bologna. And then there was the potato salad sitting up there, and I said, oh, potato salad, I could have it. Well, for the first week, every store I went into, I'd walk by the snack aisle, and I wanted to take a bite out of every one of them. And there was chips, and there was Pringles, and I was like, oh, I would just love to have some of that. Now you see why I didn't keep my 12 pounds off. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, like I hungered and thirsted after American food, where could we go? I would be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, we read. What can make us hunger after that righteousness? What is righteousness? I looked it up. It said righteous is acting in accord with divine moral law, free from guilt and sin, genuine good, living a holy life free from sin. We could say, well, what about Romans 3:27? It says, or 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all doomed if we read that verse. But you know, that's right. But that's where the blood of Jesus Christ comes in. We repent. Then we can strive for that glory of God. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ we can hunger for righteousness. Righteousness is everything that conforms to God's laws. 1 John 2:29 says, everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. We can attain righteousness, brothers and sisters. We can attain it. I want to look at an account of someone that attained righteousness and how he did it. Turn with me to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. And I'm jumping in here. 15 verse 5. This is God talking to Abraham. Think about it. This is God talking to Abraham. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It says he believed in the Lord. Abraham didn't even have a son yet. How was he going to have as many as the stars? He believed and he didn't have a son. Turn with me to James 2. A continuance of this. James 2. I want to read from verse 21 to 24. James 2. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son unto the upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Now go with me to Galatians 3. It's another continuance of this, talking about Abraham. Galatians 3, I want to read from verse 1 to 9. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. This was before God had given the law to the Israelites. And we could go through the law, but I'm not going to do that tonight. There's three things I want to notice in here tonight. It says Abraham believed. He believed. Do you believe tonight? Is it in your heart tonight? Do you have the faith you should? Do you believe in God tonight and what he will do? Do you believe the promises that he has given you in Scripture tonight? Abraham believed. Abraham didn't even have the Holy Spirit like we have it today. You are more accountable today than Abraham was because you have the Holy Spirit. You're more accountable. And it says he was obedient. God called him out and he came out, it says. Obedience. He obeyed God's laws. Third, he was faithful. He didn't fall for the whims of the world. He was consistent with his walk in God. He was faithful, it says. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. How do we live out that righteousness today? I want you to understand, it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:16, Be ye holy, for I am holy. It's not just works. I want you to understand that. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 27 says, Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Would God tell you to be holy if you couldn't contain it? No, he would not tell you to be holy. He would not tell you to live a holy and righteous life if you couldn't contain it. He knew Abraham could contain it, and he expects you to contain it through the blood of his son. You can live that righteous and holy life in God's eyes just like Father Abraham did. We said when we started that in the beginning, righteousness is free from guilt and it's free from sin. We could start in Genesis and we could go through every book all the way to Revelations, and you could pull an application out of there in every book to make you more holy, to make you more righteous, to make you more like God. But I'm not going to do that tonight because I can't talk that long. Y'all can't listen that long. But I believe it's there. We need to go after it. We need to dig for it. 1 John 3:7. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. That is becoming more like Christ. That has a growing effect in each one of our hearts. We have a part to play living a righteous life. It's a huge package, brothers and sisters. And it starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Notice fruit. He that doeth righteousness will have fruit. I've been enjoying y'all's fruit. Y'all got strawberries ripe. They're good. They're better than Missouri, I can tell you that. And they're bigger. They're good. I've been enjoying the fruit. But you will have fruit living a righteous life. God is looking for that fruit because that fruit is what's in your heart. Years ago, we used to live back a long path in North Carolina, and my girls were walking out to the mailbox when they were just young. And in the middle of the driveway was a hawk sitting. He had something in his clutches, and it was a nest, and they heard something in that nest squeaking. And so they ran towards that hawk, and of course he flew off. He left the nest, and they went up to the nest, and here it was some baby squirrels, and they were in there squeaking. And they came running back to the house, and they were all excited. We got baby squirrels. We're going to raise these squirrels. Well, we didn't have no bottles for the squirrels. So they got in a vehicle, and they went to town. They put the box on the porch on the table, and they ran to town to get bottles. And they came back with bottles all excited about these squirrels. And they got there on the porch. The box was laying on the porch. There was a hole in the box. And the dog was in the yard eating squirrel. He had an appetite for squirrel that day, and he was eating their squirrels. We didn't realize that we had an enemy within. Brothers and sisters, I could relate that to the church, but I won't. But if you ain't building church, you're an enemy. Don't do it. You're not living a righteous life. I want to think about it tonight as the enemy in your heart. The enemy in your heart. Do you have an enemy in your heart? Do you have something in your heart that you just will not let go? If you have something in your heart you won't let go, that's an enemy. If you won't let it go for God, it's an enemy. If you hold on to something, no matter what, that keeps you from growing more righteous, it's an enemy within your heart, and you need to repent. It's going to hinder you from growing more righteous. It's going to hinder you from growing closer to God. And I believe any sin will keep you from hearing the truth. It can be bitterness. It can be unforgiveness. It can be music. It can be cars. It can be trucks. It can be pride, the love of the world. Whatever you struggle with that comes between you and God is an enemy. And if you put it ahead of God, it's an idol. If it comes first, it's an idol. Do you get on your knees every morning? Do you pray, Lord, show me, plead with God, show me the enemy within me. What do I have that is holding me back from being more righteous? I think of Joseph. You know, if anybody would have had a right to be bitter, it would have been Joseph. If anybody had a right to fail, it would have been Joseph. He was in Egypt all by himself. He had no family there. He could have failed and none of them would have ever known it when he was tempted. But you don't see Joseph saying, let me go talk to my accountability group. Let me go talk to my preachers. Let me go talk to my brethren. No. What did he say? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? It's because he had it right here in his heart. It starts in the heart. And I'm telling you, listen to me. If you have it in your heart, if you are right with God, you will want to go to your accountability group. You will want your brother to tell you what's wrong with you. You will want the church to rally around you and say, brother, you are failing. You are gone the wrong way. You will welcome it. Excuse me. It's a package deal. Righteousness is a package deal. And we need all of it. But it starts in the heart. You can't say, my brother left me down, that is why I failed. You can't say, my church left me down, that's why I failed. Or my leaders left me down, that's why I failed. You have no excuse whatsoever when you fail. It is you between God. It is your responsibility. Don't blame anybody else. I can't blame Georgia for 2-3-19s as bad as I'd like to sometimes. No, it's look at yourself. Apostle Paul, when he was sent to the island of Patmos, he didn't say, I can't make it over there. I ain't got no brethren. Who's going to keep me holy? Who's going to keep me righteous? Who's going to make me want to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God? He did not say that. He had a personal walk with Jesus Christ. He said, I'm in tribulation on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's because he had that personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered for Christ, and it was his own choice to suffer for Christ. And it is your choice to dig in and suffer for Christ. They tried to kill Apostle John how many times? One time they lowered him in boiling oil. They pulled him back out. And it didn't faze him because God told him he's going to die a natural death. Brothers and sisters, we serve the same God today. We got the same spirit today. Are we going after it? Are we letting him work in our heart? Are we committed to him? Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There has to be a drawing effect if you want an appetite for righteousness. You got to want to draw closer to God if you want that appetite. You got to dig into the scripture. You got to make it a part of your life. It's got to be first. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. Are you thirsty tonight? Are you drinking from that fountain of Jesus Christ? Do you have that hunger and thirst? Yes, it takes work. Yes, it takes diligence. Are you striving to get it? There was a man leaving the city. He was headed out. He was headed home. He was tired. He had a long day of work. He had bills to pay. He was worried. And he came through the city, and there was an 80-year-old lady sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire. This man's name was Bryant Anderson. He pulled over to help her change the tire, and he told her to get in the car, because if you've been to Missouri and it's winter, you know it's cold. So he told her, get in the car, get warmed up, I'll change your tire. He did. He changed the tire, and we got all done. She tried to pay him, and he said no. He said, it's all in a day's part of work. The Lord's been good to me. You know, he needed that money. He had bills to pay. He really needed that money. He said no. The Lord's been good to me. He said, I tell you what, though. He said, this is his words. If you see somebody in need, give that person's assistance and think of me. He waited. She pulled out on the road, and he pulled out behind her. She went down the road several miles. She stopped at a cafe, went in there, got some coffee to warm up and a sandwich. And the waiter came, and he was a waiter, and she was 8 months pregnant. And she had a cheerful face. She was cheerful, but he could tell that she was a lady in need. So when she got done eating, she paid with $100 bill. And she went to get the change. When she came back, the lady was gone. On the napkin, there was a napkin laying there, and it said, "Someone help me like I'm helping you." And under that napkin was a big stack of $100 bills. Well, the lady went home that night. Her husband was already sleeping, and she crawled in bed. She said, "Good night, Brian Anderson. Good night, Brian Anderson." When I read that story, was I shocked? Yeah, I was probably shocked. God still works in mysterious ways today. You know, doing that righteous deed did not save Brian. Did not save him. But that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's a package. It comes with it. An appetite for righteousness will bring righteousness. Here a while back, I was at the job. I log for a living, partly log, if you want to call it that, farm a little bit. I was on the job, and an 80-year-old man pulled into my job, and he wondered, he said, "I need some firewood." He said, "Can I go out there and cut the tops?" I hadn't talked to him but a few minutes. I said, "No," I said, "you ain't got to go out and count the tops." I said, "Got all the blocks you want, all the pieces you want. You got a dump truck or a dump trailer, you come and I'll give you. You back up my loader, I'll load you up as much as you want. You can have all you want." And I'd only talked to him for a couple minutes. And all of a sudden he looked at me and he said, "Are you Mennonite?" And me being quick to speak, it popped right in my mouth. I said, "Yeah, why? How you know?" He got this funny grin on his face. He said, "I just know." Brothers and sisters, my point is, be different. Was it the speech? Was it the dress? What was it? Be different. Young people, stand out. Be different. It makes a difference. People see. People know. People are watching. I'm feeling like Brother Sim tonight. My voice is giving out. Pray for me. Second Peter 2:7-8 says, thinking about this world vexing our soul. I'm jumping in here. Lot's righteous soul got vexed from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Vex means a nagging, like a thorn in the flesh. It's because Lot set his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He set it towards it, it says. And then it ended up taking him in the city, the wicked city. He put himself in the midst of evil, and it wore him down. He lost his family. He was vexed day to day from Satan's temptations. We can't afford to let our righteous soul be vexed, brothers and sisters, by the cares of the world. A righteous soul doesn't even want a sinner brought down. He has a burden for that soul, much less for the righteous. What are you doing for your brethren? What are you doing for your sisters? Are you vexing? Or are you back there pushing and pulling and doing your job and digging in? Righteous have forgiveness. The righteous have forbearance. They have patience. The righteous have meekness. They have love. The righteous have a vision. The righteous have healing because they forgive, and forgiveness heals. They have a good diet. 1 Timothy 4:13. They gave attendance to reading. That means they meditated on what they read. They focused. They thought about it. They digested it. And they applied it to their life. Where I used to live in North Carolina, I was right by the Virginia line. There was a road that was called Blackhead Road. Drove on it many times. Let me tell you how that road got its name. There was an educated slave named Nat Turner. Nat Turner. He was a preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. He brought slave souls to God. He brought owners of slaves to God. He lived a righteous life. He preached righteousness. Then one day, he got a following. Got some men with him. He went around to all these slave owners and he killed them. Women, children, anybody that was a slave owner related to it, he killed them. He got away with it for a while and then he got caught. They hung him. They got done hanging him. They took him down. They scun him out. And they put his head at the intersection on that post. And they put the skin around him. For everybody to see what happened to a man that was a righteous man. A preacher. What went wrong? Was he mistreated? Was he beaten when he shouldn't have been beaten? I don't know. What is your attitude when you're mistreated? It probably started in his thought life. And he probably then got bitter. And it grew. Sin will take you where you do not want to go. I'm telling you. It grew. Any sin will make you lose your appetite. It will make you lose your righteousness. The righteous guard, the righteous protect their thoughts. They don't dwell on the things ungodly. They guard their hearts. They have a proper exercise with their diet. 1 Timothy 4:7. They exercise themselves unto godliness. They strive for what's right. Brothers and sisters, when you strive for what's right, that's where your fruits will come in. It's a package. Like I said earlier, Revelation 21:6. To the thirsty, I will give them the spring of water of life without payment. Righteousness ain't bought. It's lived. The righteous listen for that small voice. And sometimes it comes in ways that we just don't want to hear it. Sometimes it comes from a brother. Sometimes it comes from a sister. Sometimes it comes from them all. Are you willing to listen to that still small voice? And you will be filled with righteousness if you listen. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.